Our intrepid reviewer, Jacob Blickenstaff, has only this universe in which to find adventure. Hear his take on the science exploits found in the latest installment of the Star Trek franchise.
Space. The final frontier.
The latest Star Trek film, known as the reboot of the franchise, came out on DVD last month, so it seemed a good time to catch up on one of the summer's blockbuster hits. With Chris Pine taking over the role of Kirk and Zachary Quinto as Spock, a new generation of fans will get to know characters I've been watching all my life.
I couldn't believe it when the bartender told me who you are.
Why are you talking to me, man?
Now that the DVD is available, teachers can use Star Trek to talk about sound transmission, momentum, and even the transport of oxygen in human and Vulcan blood. One of the classic blunders of science fiction films is showing sound transmission in space. Unlike light, sound requires a medium to be carried from source to our ears. On Earth, that medium is usually air, but liquids and solids actually transmit sound much more efficiently than gases. Many, many sci-fi films ignore this, because movies without sound effects are frankly quite dull. This latest Star Trek is inconsistent. Scenes in space are sometimes silent, other times not. The silent moments are used for dramatic effect when the action rapidly transitions from inside to outside a ship. For example, in the opening battle, a hole is blasted in the side of the USS Kelvin. A crew member shoots out into space, and everything goes quiet. The effect is dramatic and unsettling, which makes it powerful. Much later, Kirk and Sulu space jump out of a shuttlecraft to freefall toward the planet Vulcan. They begin their descent above the atmosphere of Vulcan, and the only sound we can hear is their breathing inside their suits. As they enter the atmosphere, sounds slowly return. The dramatic transition from the silence of space to noisy atmosphere almost makes up for the rest of the film, where explosions reverberate and ships whoosh through the vacuum of space. As regular readers of my column may remember, momentum conservation is one of the big ideas of physics often ignored by filmmakers. An object has momentum equal to its mass times its velocity, and like velocity, momentum is a vector. The total momentum before an interaction will be the same as the total momentum after the interaction if there are no outside forces. The kick of a fired gun is one example of this. Before you pull the trigger, the momentum is zero. After you pull the trigger, the bullet is moving in one direction very fast, so for momentum conservation to be satisfied, the gun moves in the opposite direction. The more massive the gun, the slower it will move and the smaller the kick it will have, assuming the bullet size remains constant. Screenwriters rarely recognize the consequences of this principle. In this latest Star Trek, Kirk parachutes onto the drilling platform suspended miles above the surface of Vulcan. His chute, still deployed, hangs over the edge of the platform, about to pull him off into oblivion. A push-button retraction system rapidly pulls the cables and fabric into his backpack. Unfortunately, momentum conservation would doom Kirk to a very long fall if he tried to use the retractor in this situation. Before pushing the button, the momentum of Kirk and his parachute is zero, and he is barely able to hold on. After pushing the button, the chute starts to move toward Kirk very fast, so he either must move toward the chute or increase his grip on the platform. Most likely, the sudden jerk would have pulled him right off. Finally, life science teachers have something to use in Star Trek as well. Spock spills a bit of his green Vulcan blood in a fistfight at school early in the film. Human blood is red primarily because of hemoglobin, the iron-based protein in red blood cells that supplies oxygen from our lungs to cells throughout our bodies. Hemoglobin changes color from dark red when it lacks oxygen to bright red when oxygenated. The cause of Spock's green blood is not explained in this film, but I understand that in the original television series, Bones explains to Kirk that Vulcan blood uses a copper compound to carry oxygen, and copper oxides are green. Though this might sound unbelievable, there are many organisms on Earth that use a copper-based protein to carry oxygen through their bodies. Most mollusks and some arthropods used hemocyanins, which are blue when oxygenated and clear when deoxygenated. I hope science teachers who, like me, grew up with the Star Trek franchise will take advantage of some excellent teaching opportunities in the reboot to inspire the next generation of scientists.
For more- more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.